Welcome to Day 58 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we are reading from the book of Numbers and reading in the New American Standard Bible. Today's reading is Numbers chapters 8, 9, and 10. We will begin at Numbers 8, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, 'When you mount the lamps, the seven lamps will give light in the front of the lampstand.' Aaron therefore did so. He mounted its lamps at the front of the lampstand, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold. From its base to its flowers it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the Levites from among the sons of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them for their cleansing. Sprinkle purifying water on them. Let them use a razor over their whole body and wash their clothes, and they will be clean. Then let them take a bull with its grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, and a second bull you shall take for a sin offering. So you shall present the Levites before the tent of meeting. You shall also assemble the whole congregation of the sons of Israel and present the Levites before the Lord. And the sons of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. Aaron then shall present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the sons of Israel, that they may qualify to perform the service of the Lord. Now the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, then offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to the Lord, to make atonement for the Levites. You shall have the Levites stand before Aaron and before his sons, so as to present them as a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the sons of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. Then after that the Levites may go in to serve the tent of meeting, but you shall cleanse them and present them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the sons of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of every first issue of the womb, the firstborn of all the sons of Israel. For every firstborn among the sons of Israel is mine, among the men and among the animals. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. But I have taken the Levites instead of every firstborn among the sons of Israel. I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the sons of Israel, to perform the service to the sons of Israel at the tent of meeting, and to make atonement on behalf of the sons of Israel, so that there will be no plague among the sons of Israel by their coming near to the sanctuary." Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel to the Levites, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So the sons of Israel did to them. The Levites, too, purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Aaron also made atonement for them to cleanse them. Then after that, the Levites went in to perform their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and before his sons, just as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So they did to them. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall enter to perform service in the work of the tent of meeting. But at the age of 50 years, they shall retire from service in the work and not work any more. They may, however, assist their brothers in the tent of meeting to keep an obligation, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall deal with the Levites concerning their obligations." Chapter 9. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Now let the sons of Israel observe the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall observe it at its appointed time. You shall observe it according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances. So Moses told the sons of Israel to observe the Passover. They observed the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the sons of Israel did. But there were some men who were unclean because of the dead person, so they could not observe Passover on that day. So they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. Those men said to him, "Though we are unclean because of the dead person, why are we restrained from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the sons of Israel?" Moses therefore said to them, "Wait, and I will listen to what the Lord will command concerning you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'If any one of you or of your generations becomes unclean because of a dead person or is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statute of the Passover, they shall observe it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey, and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall then be cut off from his people, for he did not present the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man will bear his sin. If an alien sojourns among you and observes the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, so he shall do. You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land." Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. Chapter 10. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, "Make yourself two trumpets of silver. Of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camps set out. When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Yet, if only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall assemble before you. But when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown for them to set out. When convening the assembly, however, you shall blow without sounding an alarm. The priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they moved out for the first time according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. The standard of the camp of the sons of Judah, according to their armies, set out first, with Nashon the son of Amminadab over its army, and Nethanel the son of Zuar over the tribal army of the sons of Issachar, and Eliab the son of Helon over the tribal army of the sons of Zebulun. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari, who were carrying the tabernacle, set out. Next, the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies, set out with Elizur the son of Shedur over its army, and Shelumiel the son of Zurishaddai over the tribal army of the sons of Simeon, and Eliasaph the son of Deuel over the tribal army of the sons of Gad. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy objects, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. Next, the standard of the camp of the sons of Ephraim, according to their armies, was set out, with Elishama the son of Ammihud over its army, and Gamaliel the son of Pedahzur over the tribal army of the sons of Manasseh, and Abidan the son of Gideoni over the tribal army of the sons of Benjamin. Then the standard of the camp of the sons of Dan, according to their armies, which formed the rear guard for all the camps, set out, with Ahazir the son of Amishaddai over its army, and Pagiel the son of Ochran over the tribal army of the sons of Asher, and Ahira the son of Enan over the tribal armies of the sons of Naphtali. This was the order of march of the sons of Israel by their armies as they set out. Then Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out to the place which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good concerning Israel." But he said to him, "I will not come, but rather go to my own land and relatives." Then he said, "Please do not leave us, inasmuch as you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will be as eyes for us. So it will be, if you go with us, that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you." Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days, to seek out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about, when the Ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." When it came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the myriads, thousands of Israel." This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we find one of the most magnificent symbolic representations of the guidance of God for his people in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I love this passage in Numbers chapter 9 that we just read, where it said that when they erected the tabernacle, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening, it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle. So basically, they saw this pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And it went on to say that it was there continuously, that during the daytime, the cloud would cover it, at night, that fire would appear. But the most beautiful part to me was this statement that is made: at the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camp. And it went on in verse 19 to say, even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, they remained camp. And then according to the command of the Lord, they would set out. But here's the beautiful part. It says, whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camp and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. What a beautiful picture of God's guidance, very direct guidance for his people. And what a beautiful picture of the people of God obeying the guidance of the Lord. Now, as I have said before, there are Christians today who would give anything for the pillar of fire to follow, because they struggle with what to do and where to go and exactly when and what timing God has for them in their lives. But I tell you that today we are more blessed than the Old Testament believers that we read about here in the book of Numbers. Because though we do not have this outward manifestation of a pillar of cloud or pillar of fire to follow through our wilderness, we have a better covenant. Because in those days, the people did not have the Holy Spirit to guide them. They did not have the written word of God to guide them. They did not have the example of Jesus's life to guide them. And those three things we have today are quite literally our pillar of fire or our pillar of cloud. Let me put it to you very simply. This cloudy pillar or pillar of fire is a representation for us today of Jesus Christ himself. He said, I am the way. I am the way. He said, follow me. So we have been given a very beautiful example of the life of Christ written for us in the Gospels, his words spoken to us that we can follow and use as guidance in our lives today. The Old Testament believers did not have that. We have it now. We know what Jesus said. We know how he lived his life on this earth. We know how he turned the other cheek. We know how he emphasized forgiveness. We know how he related to the Father, how he would get up early in the morning and spend time with the Father. And we have that example to follow in our lives today as our pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Secondly, we have the written word of God, which is a fantastic guide for us in our generation. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, or you could say God himself, leads us by his word or through his word. So it's your pillar of fire. It's your pillar of cloud to follow. If you are struggling right now to make a decision in your life for some particular situation that you are facing, I highly encourage you to get in the word, read daily. What you're doing in listening to My Everyday Bible is absolutely an excellent part of pursuing the Word of God for guidance in your life, because there is no doubt that the Holy Spirit will bring alive some portion of the Scripture that is read and make it as literal guidance for you as you pursue the Word. So this is a very good and profitable thing to do for your own life. It will give you help in everyday decisions that you have to make. The Lord guides us through His written Word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I love the Proverbs also mentions the same idea in Proverbs 6, 22 and 23, where it says, where you go, it will lead you. And when you awake, it will be with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. That's a reference to the Word of God. And it says it's your light and it's your lamp. So when you wake up, it is with you. So that's why listening to the Word, memorizing the Word, reading the Word is so powerful, because literally you can be mulling over a problem, go to sleep at night praying, God, give me guidance, and wake up with the understanding of what to do because you've been meditating on God's Word. He will guide you through His Word. And then thirdly, we know that our pillar of fire and our pillar of cloud also is the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said He promised to send His people the Holy Spirit in order to guide them into all truth. We have been blessed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our day, in previous generations, but it is present and ready for us to embrace and receive at any time. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you can clearly be directed where to go, when to wait, how long to stay. I love this, whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle. The sons of Israel remained camp and did not set out, but when it lifted, they did set out. And that is a picture for us. When the Holy Spirit guides you and you are seriously seeking God's direction, you will feel in your own spirit a check if you're not to move forward at this time, and then a freedom in your spirit if you're to move forward. And I tell you, I have been so dependent upon the Holy Spirit these many years of ministry, because there's so many decisions to make which affect many, many people. In our work in Africa with our orphanage, this has been absolutely essential for us to be able to be successful in that ministry, because there's so many things working in a foreign country that a person faces, and how to make decisions, and what is wisdom and what is not wisdom, and when to move forward and when to wait. Those things are critical decisions that will affect the children in our orphanage, that will affect our relations with other people in the country we're working in. And so it's so essential in my life to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit for guidance. And that is what God wants in your life as well. Because when the Lord says wait, it is the wisdom of God. Even if your flesh longs to run ahead, it is wisdom not to move before the cloud moves. Or if the Lord says do it now, and you are struggling to believe God that it will work out all right, and you hesitate, you're going to miss the purpose and the timing of the Lord. Because in this passage in the book of Numbers, we see that the Israelites were wise enough not to run out before the cloud moved, and not to linger behind if it moved forward before they were ready to go. So this is an example for us today, that we need to be dependent upon the example of Jesus, the Word of the Lord in its written form, the Logos that we have now, that we can look in the Word, ask God to give us wisdom and guidance, and find the answer to the decisions we have to make. And then thirdly, we have this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, who's been given to guide us in our lives, to lead us into all truth, to prompt us. We have the beautiful examples from the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul wanted to go in to a certain country to preach the gospel, to evangelize, a very noble thing. It was his calling. It was his anointing. It was the gift of God on his life. And yet, in multiple places, it said the Spirit of Jesus, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, forbid us to go in there. Why? It wasn't God's timing. God knew that was not the timing to bring the gospel to that area. He knew what would happen if they tried it without his anointing on it and his timing involved. It would have been disastrous, without a doubt. Potentially, Paul could have lost his life there. But instead, Paul wisely listened to that prompting not to go forward, even though it was his desire. And he followed the pillar of fire to where God had him go. And of course, we know the story. He was the great evangelist and the great apostle who set up many, started many churches and was really responsible for the first missionary work done in the New Testament. And so God knows the timing of all things. He knows the place. He knows when to set out and when to camp. And that's what I want to encourage you today. If you have a decision you need to make, if you are trying to figure out a direction from the Lord for your life, for your family, for your schooling, for your work, do I pursue another job? Do I move to another city? What do I do financially? Perhaps you have a big decision to make. I encourage you. There is a pillar of fire for you to follow. Look at Jesus' example in the Gospels. Read his life. Read the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer. And God, who is so faithful, will guide you and lead you in your own life. It's his desire. He didn't stop desiring to lead his people when the children of Israel managed to make it to the promised land. No, we are all walking through a wilderness in our lives now, heading toward God's perfect priority, plan, and destiny for each one of us. And we need the guiding and leading of the Lord as much as anyone ever did in the history of the Bible, because we live in a generation of great challenge to the Christian faith. You need to be dependent on the Lord to guide you. Don't try to do it in your own strength or with your own intelligence. You may be the most intelligent person listening to this program, but I guarantee you, the wisdom of God is far greater than any intelligence of a human being. God knows the future, which is something none of us know without the Holy Spirit's assistance. So lean upon him. Look to that pillar of fire, which is Christ himself. Read his word. Pray and depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you will go forward when God says to move out, and you will stay put when God says to remain in the camp. God bless you and give you a victorious week.